John chapter number 15, verses 1 and 2. Relationships involves relations. How many of you tonight would agree that in spite of the signs, warning signs, this is not working out, this is not going right, in spite of everything that you see in a relationship, you find yourself tonight still in an unhealthy relationship? It may not be a relationship in terms of husband and wife or boyfriend, girlfriend. It could be a relationship that a young lady tonight is in with her girlfriend, or a guy is in with his best friend. You have to be careful with relationships, because whomever you're in a relationship with, the two of you are producing something. You are never in a relationship with a person in which that person doesn't affect your life. When you choose friends, you must choose them prayerfully and carefully, because the friends that you choose will have a great impact on what you produce in life. It is impossible for you to be, stay, remain a positive person in a negative relationship. And you need to stop lying and saying, well, that's just her and I'm not like that. Somebody said, birds of a feather. So you need to quit. If you ever want to know what type of person that you're dealing with, look at their friends. There has to be something in me that draws me to you for me to want to be your friend. And so when you look at people, look around them, and if you don't like what's around them, you probably won't like that person. Now, when that person is not around the rest of the friends, they may pretend to be someone else. But the moment that the heat is on, you'll see the true person. When you see the true person, don't you dare say, I didn't know you were like that. Because you already knew. God does not have ignorant children. If you're a child of God, God will always show you what you need to see. You may close your eyes to it. And so God begins to put us in, or allow us to be in relationships, and He will allow us to examine the fruits that is around us. By fruit, I mean what is being produced. BJ can't tell me about my finances when every day he's asking me for some money. Because whatever he thinks needs to work for me, it needs to work for him first. So if you want to know someone, look at their fruits. Your girlfriend who tells you to leave your dude, but she all alone. Don't you take that advice. Your guy friend who try to pull you out and go to the club, and he has nowhere to go home to. Don't follow him. You need to make sure that whoever you are in a relationship with, that what they are producing, you would like that. Every relationship, and we'll deal with it in details a little bit, but every relationship that you are in should do four things, or show you four things. It should show you love. If you're in a relationship, there's no love. I didn't say life. I didn't say lust. If the relationship doesn't show you love, you're in the wrong relationship. If the relationship doesn't inspire you, you're in the wrong relationship. If being in a relationship with someone doesn't challenge you, push you to do better, you're in a dead-end relationship. If you're in a relationship, and number three, that relationship does not give you freedom, you're in a dead-end relationship. I know people tell you that when you're in a relationship that you lose all your freedom because the two of us become one, and that is true. But being in a relationship with someone, you should never stop being who you are. That's crazy. That's what he fell in love with, or that's what she fell in love with. Don't change just because you're in a relationship. And number four, if the relationship is not eternal minded, if a person is in a relationship with you just for the day, I'm sorry, just for the night. Wrong relationship. While we laugh, I hope you hear what I'm telling you. If there's no love, there's no inspiration, there's no freedom, and if there's no eternal mindset, you're in the wrong relationship. It cannot last. It cannot last. There is no serious relationship without those four components. Now, Jesus writes in verse number 1. He says, I am the true vine. Now, what he's alluding to is there are some other vines, but they're not true. So he says, I am the true vine. In other words, I'm it. I'm the source of everything that you need. I can supply all of your needs. Watch this. After he says, I am the true vine, Jesus then says, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, the word husband is in the Greek philandros. And it's in part where we get filios or brotherly, a conditional love, but it goes a little deeper. And what it refers to is when Jesus says about God, what he's saying is that God has a love for you and I. And that love that God has for you and I, it has to do with the conditional or brotherly love. Now, the love that he's talking about, the love is not conditional, but the blessings are conditional. And the blessings will only come if you are connected to the vine. So the condition to you getting God's stuff is that you got to be in a relationship with him. Let me move closer to you. You ever been in a relationship and somebody wanted your stuff, but they didn't want to be in a relationship, really? They just want you to do their hair, or they just want you to pay the bills, but there's no true relationship. And you said you can't have this unless we all in it together, unless we're connected. No, I ain't holy, unless you connected.
Amen.
And so that's what Jesus is telling us, is that God is saying we got to be connected on earth. And if we connect it on earth, what he is saying is that every time that you think about me, I'll make you high. I'll make you giddy. I'll make you think. You remember when you first fell in love? Every time you saw him or her, it just did something to you. Yeah, you laughing. You got her, man. Look, you got her. Every time you saw him or her, it did something to you. Every time you move in the presence of God, you should feel God.
Amen.
Every time you are in the presence of God, you should know that God is there, because I feel him. Can't see him, don't know where he came from, but I know that I'm in the presence of God because I feel the Spirit of God. Have you ever got caught up in praise and worship and you just thought that you just got lost somewhere? Didn't care what was going on, but there was something inside of you that you knew that you were having an intimate relationship with God. Didn't care who was looking, didn't care what they were thinking. You just wanted to get closer to him. You just wanted to press in. You just capitalize on the moment and say, God is here and I'm going to move closer to him.
Amen.
And so Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In other words, what he's saying is that I'm in a relationship with a loving God who is going to cultivate mean? Now, when he says, or the mindset of being cultivated, does that mean you are right, but every now and then you got to ply up the ground? You are right, but every now and then I got to step into your life and shake you up. See, sometimes what you give Satan credit for is not Satan, it's God trying to bless you. God, why did you take that person out of my life? Because where he's taking you, they couldn't go with you. And so sometimes God has to rip some things, rip some people out of your life so that you have the freedom, remember, to move forward. Sometimes you're in a relationship and that relationship is a distraction between you and God. You don't even praise God because you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to satisfy this and you got to satisfy that. And God is saying, what about me? Look at verse number 2. Watch this now, what Jesus is saying. He says, every branch, the branch that he refers to is people. So what he's saying is every person, you, that is abiding in him, but you bear no fruit. In other words, you come to church, you call yourself a child of God, but your life is not producing anything. Now, when I refer to producing something, the scorecard of life is not a bank book. You can have no money and still be producing something. Or you can have a lot of money and still not producing anything. That's not the scorecard. The scorecard is the fruit that you bear. And so what it's saying is simple. Every branch, every person in me that beareth no fruit, every person that is in me, you bear no fruit, he says, he taketh away. So he identifies the person, and then he shows you that if you're not producing anything, it's because you're poison. People can poison you. Society can poison you. Doubt can poison you. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone and everything was always negative? And you go and say, honey, you know, if we come together, we can do this and we can do that. Oh no, because Jim and Julie tried that. I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about me and you abiding in God, and we can do all things through Christ that strengthen us. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and God will supply all of our needs. But you keep looking at somebody else. Because your mind is poisoned. You don't see beyond your situation. You don't see beyond what somebody says. And God is calling us in 2012 to come out of our little comfort zone. You got your little car and you think that's all you need. You done bought your house and you think that's all you need. And God is saying, but if you'll do the right thing by me, watch me do some things in your life. Where you are right now, it's nothing in comparison to where God would like to take you. Where you are tonight, chances are what you have, you got it before you came to Christ. So if you can do that, imagine what God can do with your obedience. What you're struggling with, God is saying, release it. But God, if I don't do that, then this will happen. And God is saying, if you don't do that, nothing will happen. Because you're in the palm of my hand. And no man can snatch you out. Because I knew you. When you were in the womb of your mother, I knew you. And I had already sanctified you. I already have a plan and a purpose for you. And you're worried about what man can do to you. Isn't it something when we have more fear of man and a system than we do about God? Listen to me. Nobody can do nothing to you without God's permission. I don't care how big they are, how bad they are, supervisor, boss, owner of the company, landlord, I don't care. When God is moving your life, he will jump over folks and animals and everything else to bless you. When God begins to move in your life, nobody can stop you. And when God begins to move, he's not checking a resume. He doesn't care anything about qualification. God is saying, that's my child, and my child is abiding in me, meaning that you are obedient to God. God says he'll move in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
But sometimes he has to move all of the poison out of your life. The problem that we have is that we kind of like poison. She ain't that bad. He's not that bad. But he's not what God is giving you. See, if your blessings doesn't have your name on it, it doesn't work. It has to be just for you. Now, if God took the time to create you, don't you also know that he took the time to order your steps through life? And you think you end up in Columbus just because this happened and that happened, and God is saying all along, that's exactly where I needed you to be. And then you come to Columbus and you halfway obedient to God, and when you get here, then God give you just a little taste of a blessing. And then as soon as God give you a little taste of a blessing, then he begins to prune and take some stuff out, and then you say, I gotta go back where I came from. Relax. 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 Listen to what he's saying to you. Every branch in me that beareth no fruit, I take away. If it's poison, if it's not producing anything, he says, I take it away. But listen, every branch that beareth fruit, everything that you touch and do in life that is producing something, he didn't say, I'll bless it. Isn't God funny sometimes? He says, then I purge you. How can I be doing right and you still take stuff out of my life? Come on, God, that's kind of backwards. Because I'm thinking, like, if I'm doing right, it seems like you would give me more right, give me more stuff. But it's a process. God has to build character. So God walks you through some things. And nobody can teach you anything like life can teach you something. And so God will allow some things to happen, and then he begins to prune you, even though you are producing something. Because God is saying, you can give me more than that. You can do more than that. You can go higher than that. But God, I'm already the supervisor, but you can go higher than that. See, sometimes God sees all the time. God sees in us what we won't allow ourselves to see in ourselves. See, all I can see is my natural ability. And God is saying, but I got supernatural to add to your natural. And I know what you can do. But when I grace you, when I favor you, you don't know what I can do.
Thank you, Lord God.
God begins to purge. And the process of purging, it has to do with taking something that looks good, but it has one or two little faults. And so God begins to cut away a little lie over here. And you know, every now and then you commit adultery, so he cuts that away. And every now and then you go over here and you backbite, and he cuts away. And he does all that purging because he's trying to purify you. So he puts you in the fire and he turns it up. And everything in your life seems like it is burning you up. It seems like you're going through hell. And you wonder, where is God when it feels like you're going through hell? And God is saying, you're doing good. What you mean I'm doing good? Do you not feel what I feel? You talk about, I'm doing good. And God is saying, I'm just purifying you. See, you are like gold to God. And so what God does, he takes you and he puts you in a fire. Fire can never consume gold. All it does, baby, is makes you shine. All the hell you've been through, that's why you shine in the way that you are. That's why your enemies are attracted to you, because you shine. See, because you've been through so much and you still going along, things still is going all right in your life. In spite of the obstacles, what you learn is that when God get ready to purge you, just let him have his way. And as God begins to purge you, he'll turn up the heat sometime in your life. But as God turn up the heat, he wants you to show his glory. So he'll shine through you so that he can get the glory. Your life is not about you. Your life is about being a light to the world so that somebody can see Jesus Christ in you. And so God sometimes will take you and he'll purge you. And as he begins to purge you, he'll do it. And the Bible declares, the last part of verse number 2, that it may bring forth more fruit. See, because sometimes we're going through something, we get a little lazy. And so we're saying, that's comfortable, but God is saying, but I want you to do more. See, you have to every now and then allow God to rock your boat. Because you get in a comfort zone. I go to work at 8, I get off at 5, I stop and pick up a child at 5:45, I cook at 6:05, at 6:12 it's done, and at 7:10 I talk on the phone, and at 9 o'clock I'm going to bed. And then one day God step in your life, and then you have an accident, and God is saying, now you're off the schedule. Yeah, God, now I got to lean and depend on you. And you find yourself going through something, and God is saying, now your schedule doesn't matter now. Now you really got to focus on me. So now you begin to press into God. You begin to pray to God. And so as you begin to press in and pray to God, God then steps into your life and say, now I know that you're out of your comfort zone, but you're just right for me. God will step into your life and move you so that you can only lean and depend on him. And as you begin to walk through the fire, when people think that that's it, you're going down, God is saying, no, I wanted them to see your business so that I can shine through you. See, God is getting a blessing through you. So you begin to go through something and people know all your stuff. And you say, ooh, that's the end of me. I'm all embarrassed. And somehow God says, I'm going to turn that thing around and I'm going to make it work out for you. But God, this is too bad. He said, no, that's just right for me. See, sometimes God like it bad. He like it when folk know your business. He like it when you're down to your last dollar. See, when he steps in, you know that nobody but God did it. And so you give him all the praise, all the honor. And so listen, God begins to walk you through stuff. And what God begins to show us is that the reason that he's doing things in our life is because he wants to get the glory. Now, when God begins to get the glory, he gets the glory because you are now good fruit. The purpose of a fruit, or by definition, biblical definition of a fruit. Fruit is, and this is strange to me, but what it is energy from a living organism. I found that strange. Like, a fruit comes from the energy of something alive. What God is saying is that for you to be a fruit bearer, you got to be about faith. Faith is alive. So for you to see your very best, you got to step out on faith. Everything that it takes, everything in the world that we can possibly give God, we can give God gold, silver, everything that we can give him. He says, I want none of that. He says, in order to please me, I only want faith. Isn't that something we all have? I thank God he's not asking for anything I don't have. So whatever it is he's asking, he said, you want to please me? And you know, when you get into bed, your objective is to please your partner. When you come to Christ, your objective must be to please your partner, which is Jesus Christ. And he says, in order to please God, you've got to have the faith that God can do everything but fail. You got to believe God for who God is. When you begin to believe God, then we understand that the fruits that we produce is to give life.
Thank you, Lord.
Life, L-I-F-E.
Yes.
Love. The love of Jesus Christ must be the same love that people see in us. Stop inviting folks to church. Stop telling folks how wonderful God is if they can't see any God in you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
See, that's the problem. That's the disconnect. Is that we act like fools all week and say, Would you come to church with me? No, I ain't going to church with you. If that church produced that, I'm not going with you. And we wonder why people don't come to church with us. Because they don't see a God in us. Love must be present. The love of God covers a multitude of sin. When we have the love of God, we're not so quick to look at people and to judge people because we understand that there's some stuff in us. Once we understand that we have to show the love of God, then we move to the inspiration in which we must receive in a relationship. We move from love to inspiration. The Bible declares that God breathed on Adam. When he breathed on Adam, in essence what he did was he gave him the breath of life. He breathed on him. He inspired him. When you are in the right relationship with God, your life will inspire someone else. They may never read the Bible, but they are so taken by your life, how you come through your storms, how you deal with the rejections of the life, of your life, how you deal with failures in life, how you deal with everything in life, but they are inspired by how you do it. So what they see in you is that if they can do it, I can do it. Now, the Bible declares that God has no respecter person. So whatever God is doing in somebody else's life, he's willing to do it in your life. But now what he's doing in somebody else's life may not be the same thing that he's doing in your life. It's okay if God bless you with a house and he blessed me with a business. It's okay if God bless you with a car and he blessed me with a motorcycle. Because your blessings won't look like my blessings, but if I don't covet my neighbor's house and I'm okay with what I have, God somehow will allow what I have to take care of me. We discover the love of God. How God inspires. And then we look at the freedom. The Bible declares where the Spirit is, there's liberty. Wherever the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. Now, you have to be careful with freedom because freedom may be free, but it costs you. Everything that someone tried to give you, and they say it doesn't cost anything or it's free, it comes later with a price. Yeah, we can go to dinner. Sure. Yeah. I'll even pay for it now. It's free now. But you got to wash the clothes. You got to do this. You got to do all those conditional things because it really isn't free. With love comes pure freedom. Remember I said earlier that if you're in a relationship, that relationship should give you freedom. In a relationship, hear me, take away this if you take away nothing else. Hear me very carefully now. I'm telling you what I'm talking about now. Listen, watch this. I told you you don't have to lose yourself in a relationship. When you're in a relationship with someone and you have to give up who you are to stay there, That's not it. That's not it. In a relationship, the person, listen carefully, the person should enhance you, not make you. You didn't get that. You didn't get that. See, sometimes we marry. We're in a relationship. Oh, I need him. That's what I'm saying. I'm helping somebody. You need to be whole before you get into the relationship. If you're dating someone and they're not whole, they're going to jack you up till they get there. insecurity going to run like crazy. And every time they see blessings in your life, they're going to resent the God blessings in you because they're not inside themselves. You got to be you. You got to be free to do you and to be you. And when God put that person in your path, that person would help to develop you, but never let somebody make you. If I can make you, I can destroy you. If it takes me telling you you look good in order for you to feel good, what happens one morning when I wake up and say, you don't look good today? You giving somebody too much power in your life. You better control your own little destiny through the grace of God and not give it to somebody else. That's the freedom that you have in relationships. And that is, I'm not tied to situations and circumstances. You walk out if you want to, I'm still going to pay the mortgage. I'm not afraid of you. So I'm not going to let you handle me and intimidate me just because you think I need to stay in a relationship. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. When you are in the Spirit of God, you're free to be you. God created you. He don't want somebody else to change you. He'll change you. And if you're in a relationship and you think you can change somebody, fool, you can't. Love, inspiration, freedom, and then eternal mindset. And that is, if you're not doing it for eternal, you're wasting your time. Only what you do for Christ will last. Anything else, you're just wasting your time. So God is saying, if you are a fruit-producing person in your life, you have to have love. You have to be inspirational. You have to have freedom. And it has to have an eternal mindset. Those four things is not in the relationship that you're in. You need to leave it, or somebody else needs to leave the relationship. But it's unhealthy. You don't go into a relationship and then you're worse off than when you're by yourself. You don't go into a relationship where he's there watching TV and I'm just going to sit here and so. That's not a relationship. That's two people sharing a house. God wants us to be in healthy relationships. And in closing, every healthy relationship must have intimacy. Must be time where you just steal away. And you hold, and that person holds you. Must be times where you can slide into your secret closet and say, God, I need to talk to you. And God, I need to be intimate with you. I need to feel you. I need to feel you like never before. And I know in your presence there's fullness of joy. And when I'm in your presence, there's nothing that compare to me being with the God that I serve.
Thank you, Lord.
All else may fail, but the love of God will last forever. Have you been blessed tonight?